Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. And I feel like Tuesdays are the best days because of John Wayne show. But this is back-to-back weeks. CMC got, like, breaking news right before we go live. Last week, Wayne, before we go live, he gets his extension. This week, we got the announcement that he's on the cover of Matt. It doesn't really affect football that much, but it's still huge. 12-year-old John Chapman is the happiest man alive knowing there's a 49er for the first time on the Madden cover. Wayne, how are you today, man?
I think it's the second time, but it's the first time.
It was the first one, but that was like...
I know.
It wasn't on all of them, though, right?
Right.
It was division one or something like that? Like, there were multiple?
Right, but Hurst made the cover. But
I bought that one.
I've been playing Madden since Madden 92, like, before it was called Madden, with a year number. But my point is... this is probably the first one that matters, like the one that's most significant. Listen, CMC had one of the most phenomenal years as an offensive player in the NFL in 2023. I mean, his numbers stood out just above anybody, and if he was a quarterback, he would have been MVP. Like, it's not even a question. And then if we didn't have Brock Purdy play well, he probably would have been MVP, but I think Purdy took away from some of his votes, like, you know. But at the end of the day, man, you know, a lot of people out there feel like there's a Madden curse, and that's whatever. If that's what you want to believe in, cool, be my guest. But if I did believe in the Madden curse, John, that curse was over with like a few years ago. Like, I've been watching quarterbacks win MVPs after being on the Madden cover, and players play well. But he is the first running back to grace this cover since Peyton Willis. Running back, fullback-ish for the Cleveland Browns back in the day.
That's a long time ago. I played against Peyton Willis back in the day. That's how long ago that was.
Wow.
That guy. Like, it's a long time ago, man. Right here, Yatsik says, what's up, John and Wade? CMC will tear it up this season. What Madden curse? Like, listen to this. I'm not into curses. The scariest movie I ever saw in my life, Wayne, was Candyman. It scared the bejesus out of me.
The only
way I got over it was I went to the mirror and I did the whole thing. I did it. I was like, it's either like I'm fighting this dude and we're done. I'm not going to be scared anymore.
Definitely wasn't trying to fight Candyman, but I appreciate you for wanting to fight Candyman. Candyman, first of all,
I don't like being scared, man.
And I understood. Listen, that movie was so scary. I have to tell this story. I have to get this out. Take me 3 minutes. That movie was so scary because we grew up in the same time, same age. So it was scary to us. I don't think people understood why Candyman was scary. We grew up with a story called Bloody Mary, and I feel like that's where they got it from. I'm not saying Bloody Mary in the mirror. I'll do Candyman, but I'm not doing Bloody Mary. John, that movie was so scary. I watched that movie, ready? In the daytime, across the street, through the screen door of my best friend's house, bro. Like, that's how scared. I wanted to make sure I was outside. I didn't want to be in the house. I needed space and time to move. I thought I could beam me up, Scotty, or something. That movie was scary. I'm not going to front. And even as I get older, I still won't say Candyman. Not that I believe in it. I just feel like he's related to Bloody Mary. I'm not doing that. I'll drink the drinks. Not saying anything.
My thing, so real quick, I saw it at my friend Benjamin's house, which was two blocks down the street.
You said
it. So we watched it, and I had to walk home by myself at night, and I started running. Once you start running, it's over, because that's whenever all the fear comes up and your adrenaline's pumping. I thought it was over, man. Little, you know,
don't call me shaky.
9-year-old fat John Chapman.
I was fat, too. At the end of the day, I don't care what people say, that movie was scary. Like, that movie was scary. Yep.
And I'll say this. If you just look at, like, the three of the last years, Patrick Mahomes has been on the cover twice. Josh Allen was on the cover last year. None of them have had bad years since then. How many Super Bowls does won?
Or injuries that kept them out. And that was the curse. The curse was that the players would be injured the year they graced the cover.
Yeah. Right. So, anyway, having said all those things, it's awesome. Congratulations. It's a wonderful, you know, lifelong dream CMC talked about. We're going to talk a little Aiyuk. We're going to be talking the two main components of this show is Ask Wayne, and we're going to get Wayne's opinion on a lot of these things, which I'm like super excited about. And then the second half of the show is going to be our positional breakdown of the NFC West. Today we got corners. And we got safety. So we're going to go 1 through 4, the NFC West, and rank each one of these position groups, starters, backups, young developing talent, just as we continue through these Tuesdays throughout the offseason so we can get a holistic view of the NFC West. So our first topic right here, shout out to my man Yacek, all the hashtag CCs, all the hashtag DBs out there. We really appreciate you guys. Yacek asked this, what do you make of IU's statement about family being in San Francisco about the leaked contract amount? So let me just catch everybody up just in case you don't know. Brandon Aiyuk put out there, quote, I want to be a 49er beyond this season, end quote. My home is here. My family is here. Everything I know is here. I want to be a 49er beyond this season. And then Michael Silver put out there, the 49ers have a contract on the table for $26 million a year. Wayne, help us make sense of this.
All right. So, it's contract negotiation period time. Both camps are going to put out stuff. Mike Silver, it's so funny because I just feel like he's the guy that they go to say, hey, release this. And he does. And so, you know, whether you respect him, whether you don't, that's up to you. Whether you believe it, whether you don't, that's up to you. I'm not going to stunt. I think the offer is pretty substantial. Now, listen. I broke this joint like down in a 30-minute show on my Patreon, which you can go to patreon.com/@
support him, support Wayne me
Breezy, right? And so when I was doing the breakdown of everything, I was like, why was I having epiphanies? Like, oh snap, like there's nothing wrong with that $26 million a year deal. Now, if that's what they offered him, but I just feel like that's not what Aiyuk wants. You have to look at the receivers. You got to go to the top receivers getting paid annually per year right now. And when you look at that top list, I use Spot Rack. Some people use Over the
here's
33rd and the third. See, they don't say I don't.
If this you is at, before the JJ one.
Okay, there you go. Okay, see, Okay, there you go. And when you look at this,
what I had loaded,
and that's fine. When you look at this top list, the current list has been updated because Deebo is now 11. And you see, as these receivers get paid, they go down. Like Jalen Waddle was 5, right? Because there's a new receiver that's in there, Justin Jefferson, that he talked about. But when you look at this list, and you see the $26 million per year, I mean, that's putting him right under Cooper Kupp. So Ayuk is either going to be the top seventh or eighth guy on this list moving forward. And I actually broke this down, and I was like, wait a minute, that's not really bad for a guy that is the number one wide receiver on the 49ers, but the number one, two, three, fourth option, right? So, like, that to me is a fair offer. But when you look at that list and you look at some of those players that are getting paid more that do exactly the same thing Brandon Ayuk does, that's where it gets tricky. And that's why there's going to be a period of time where it's going to be blood, sweat, and tears trying to get this deal done. Now, I know there's reports out there saying that maybe the Niners don't look to extend them per Matt Maiocco. The Niners have full control over this whole situation, so it's really up to them, you know. So at the end of the day, you know, Brandon Ayuk can hold out. He can hold out for however long he chooses he wants. He'll lose money. And he also, John, can lose an accredited season, right? An accrued season. And that he don't want, because if he does that, guess what? He got to repeat the same process over again, back to the fifth-year option, still with the 49ers, and it doesn't do him any justice. So this can get tricky, and it can get long, and we'll figure it out. They'll figure it out, excuse me.
Yeah, and, you know, I really do think he's going to play this year, regardless. If nothing happens and they're at a stalemate and whatever else, he won't show up to mini camp or to training camp. He'll be late. He might even sit out one or two games like what you saw Chris Jones do, but I doubt it, because he loses $1 million every game he sits out. That's non-negotiable. He doesn't get that. So he's playing this year, period, for the 49ers. Like, that's coming across.
It's either $14.1 million or however many games he misses and whatever right. they charge per practice.
Yeah. For the training camp. He might miss out a training camp and all that stuff, but he's going to be playing this year. The question is, and even go back to the quote, I want to play for the 49ers past this season. That's what it's about. Now, I like where this is at. What's up, Steven? He says 49ers BA just need to meet in the middle, $27.5 million. And it depends. We don't know what he's asking for. Is Correct. He asking amount per year? Is he asking guaranteed, total guaranteed? That's a different thing.
That's a totally different
All those
thing.
Are different things. So I think that the contract's going to come in probably closer to 28. Just under 30 is kind of where I've been stuck with. But, you know, I always root for everybody to get their money.
And let me just ask you this quick question. I know this is just ask Wayne, but let me just ask John. Is Brandon Ayuk better, and I mean production-wise, than Jaylen Waddle?
They're pretty close. They're pretty close. They're both better fits for each other's teams. If I'm drafting and both are available, again, if I'm taking Ayuk, I would take Ayuk.
My point, well, the reason why I brought that up, the reason why I asked you that question, is because Waddle's getting 28.5. So I feel like Brandon Ayuk's got to be 28.6, 28.7, 28.8, 28.9. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Especially if you told me they're similar. I think Brandon Ayuk's numbers are greater than his. Or whatnot, and kind of like as far as production. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, Ayuk also has that extra year in the NFL. Those guys are like 3 years and got their deals, where Brandon Ayuk's going into his fifth year, you know, getting his deal. They're going into their fourth. So I feel like 28, I feel like he's starting at that 30 number. And the Niners, if they can agree on 28.6, 28.7, cool, yeah. that should get it done.
Now, and this is one thing, shout out to Duck Soup over on Twitter. He says, you know, do you see a world where they sign BA to an extension, you know, forget the deals, whatever else, and keep Debo? Because it's been kind of the mainstream thing, and they're even asking Debo about this. First time they get to talk to him, it's kind of weird, but whatever.
Like, I thought it was just me. I'm glad you noticed it. Thought it was me.
Yeah, it's just kind of, anyway, the media pool is the media pool, but like, I don't know. I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion that Debo is gone after this year if Ayuk signs. Like, you look at his deal, it's relatively cheap next year. Yeah, obviously you want to you got the Brock Purdy thing, but everything that the 49ers are doing with the CMC contract extension, the Juwan Jennings contract extension, and we'll see what happens with Purdy and Trent Williams, all that stuff. But, like, none of those cap hits are next year. None of them are. None of them are this year. None of the cap hits are next year. And CMC's cap hit is 5 years. So the common thinking is, well, if you sign Ayuk, you got to get rid of Debo. Not so fast. If Debo goes out and balls out this year, is it worth getting a second back for him? We'll see. There's a lot of variables that are going to play that out. But, Wayne, like, there's a scenario where Ayuk is extended and Debo's kept, correct?
I mean, here we go, yo. Of course there's a scenario. First of all, Debo is Kyle Shanahan's guy. I wouldn't even be surprised if they offer him an extension. So you guys are worried about Debo and the money. Like the I understand that we don't want to tie this money into these players for so long, but I mean, the money keep going up. And at the end of the day, the salary cap that was the salary cap 20 years ago when it first entered the NFL is totally different than what it is now. These are multi-billion dollar corporations. They got multi-billion dollar contracts with these companies out there. And obviously, the money's going to go up and the market's going to go up. So as Debo, let's say Debo balls out this year. There's no way you're going to sit there and say to yourself, I know, Debo, we're only going to pay you $16 million next year, whatever the number is, but, you know, possibly offer him an extension, and then you lessen the cap even more. And so now you can continue to – you keep the team together, you keep the core together. The question is how long they want to keep the core together, and does it, and how long does it keep their window? And I know we got to pay Brock. I get it. That's different money. You could offer Brock the Patrick Mahomes contract if you really believe he's that guy.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I like that. Hey, look at Bobo. He comes in with a super chat. I love it. Always keeping it fresh, Bobo. My opinion is I believe BA will be traded, especially with the extension of CMC and JJ, the drafting of Pearsall and the receiving room being crowded. If you were going to trade him, why wouldn't you trade him beforehand? The Juwan Jennings contract extension, the CMC contract extension were pretty easily done.
Correct.
So, like, you're going to trade him now for what? You're going to get draft picks for next year? I don't know. Now, I can tell you there's a lot of 49ers content creators that probably agree with you, Bobo. I am not one of them, and I appreciate your question. I don't see this at all.
My question for Bobo, and just put it in the chat. I'll try to pop it up. You don't have to pay. My question for you is why? Why would you do this?
He's saying because it's crowded, but it's like
not, that's not a reason. Like just because it's crowded doesn't mean it's better. Doesn't mean it's good. You don't want to get rid of your guys that had damn near all pro seasons, you know. And when you look at Juwan Jennings, I mean, Juwan Jennings is a good wide receiver, but I don't think he can do the things that Debo or he tried. He tried to run out of the backfield. How'd that work? Right, he's not Brandon Ayuk either.
That was so funny.
He's Juwan Jennings, like you don't understand. So and in his contract states what his role and responsibilities are. It's not like he's getting paid top dollar. You're talking about a number one wideout. The 49ers haven't drafted a number one wideout to this caliber. I got to go back to Terrell Owens. Like that's the last time they had a guy at this caliber to play this well and get the offense in a quick period of time. Brandon Ayuk has came into this offense from day one rookie season and figured out how to master it. And then he figured out how to dig himself out of the hole he created. And look at him now. He's not a bad character guy. He's just refining himself as a wide receiver. You know, the funniest thing, I was watching Brandon Ayuk talk about working out, and I thought it was so dope because he said to me, he said not to me, but he said in the interview, he was like, man, I ain't trying to lift all these weights and stuff like that. Like it's not the combine. I'm trying to stay fit. And that hit me. When my big behind getting in the gym, I ain't trying to be 24. and bulk up. I'm trying to lean, trim, slim, keep my heart pumping, right? It's different.
Dude, I strained my calf on the treadmill doing, I was jogging. I wouldn't even go up fast.
I'm not just laughing.
Yesterday, I said so many curse words. I said,
I know you did, because that junk hurt. It hurt differently at the age in the 40s. Right.
Carry my fat self around. That's what it is.
I just think it's really cool that Brandon Ayuk mindset is a lot different, and that shows you, right? Like he's strong, he's lean, he's mean, he's the best blocking non-offensive lineman on this team.
That's saying a lot. We got some great blockers out there,
bro. He's top five. He's five, and then George Kittle. Wait a minute, he's a better blocker than George Kittle.
Graded wise,
right? I know we see Kittle pancaking cats, but graded wise,
I love it, man. I love it, and I like this because I think Big Papa, I think he hits on something. I want to go back to Bobo. Big Papa says, I wonder if you know Ayuk would take less money if it was more guaranteed. We don't know, we do not know, we will not know. You remember like last year whenever, or 2 years ago, when it was Debo, DK, Terry McLaurin, and AJ Brown, and all four of them had the same agent, and all four of them could argue, one of them got the most per year, one of them got the most guarantees, one of them got the most total guarantees, that was Debo, and one of them got the longest deal. So like,
oh, I remember that. Right. And they all had like the same agent.
All the same agent. Bobo comes back with just my opinion, though, because camp is approaching fast and he's still unhappy. Yeah, and camp ain't that big of a deal. It is a big deal, but I'm not super concerned there. Gold Blood, appreciate the super chat. Says, do you see the offense being more pass heavy this year? I do.
I do, too. I called cap when Kyle mentioned that it wasn't. What he mentioned was they asked him about the personnel. They asked him about 11 personnel, right? And so then it hit me. Well,
the system ain't going to change.
The system not going to change, which he's right. Like, the system is still going to be the system, but that doesn't mean he doesn't come out there with, you know, three wideouts every single time with one running back and a tight end. That doesn't mean that 11 personnel won't be on the football field. They can still run the ball with single back in the backfield. Like, you still run the ball, right? So you put Brandon Ayuk and Juwan Jennings out there as your blocking wide receivers, and then you got your underneath guy like a Deebo Samuel that's just a scapegoat on a pass or run, and you rotate him, Christian McCaffrey. It's killer. Like, the packages and the personnel and the players they put out there, and the personnel is going to be unlimited, bearing health. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I'll say this, man. I don't want to go off on this tangent because it's going to whatever. The biggest, like, I'm in this mode now where I'm ranking everything just in my own head by myself because I'm an idiot. And I'm always fighting this Kyle Shanahan versus McVay. Who's the better coach and why? And there's reasons for both of them. They're both the best of the best. But the difference between McVay and Shanahan, McVay adapts his entire scheme to his personnel. He changes. He's innovative. Everything he does is different year in, year out. Shanahan, the system's the system. Shanahan's thing is, I could put wrinkles to make everything work. Whereas McVay threw out 21 personnel his first year as a head coach.
I remember.
And he was from the Shanahan scheme. He's like, man, Cooper Kupp's my number three wide receiver. Why the hell is he on the sideline for a rookie tight end? And he said, man, let's just scrap that. We're going 11 personnel, and he stayed with it. So, I don't know. Shanahan's the most stubborn. I would say McVay is the most innovative, but not that one's worse than the other. When they play each other, it's very clear who's the best. Oh, look at this. Nothing but Niners.
Hey.
What's up? Making a house. He says, fellas, they called about Jefferson. They drafted a wide receiver in the first and fourth. All slot types coming out of college. Is Kyle about to change the entire style up? I wouldn't be upset, especially with the tight end two being what it is, but I still think it's going to kind of – I think they want more of a rotation.
Yeah.
And allow the people to progress. Give Debo more snaps off. I think that's important. Give Ayuk a couple more snaps off. Ayuk led the team in snaps from all skill players last year. I mean, he played a ridiculous amount 2 years in a row. So – and when they came off the field, everybody knew what was happening. When Debo and Ayuk are off the field, you know it's going to be a run play.
Right. And I agree with that. But they did address the wide receiver position heavily. And as Bobo stated, like the room does seem overcrowded, which is good because now you're going to get a good workout. You're going to get good competition. That's what you want, right? You want your room to be overcrowded with great competition. And there's going to be some cats that doesn't make this roster, especially if the number is six. I got the number at six. John may have the number at five. We're not doing that show yet, but that I think the number is going to be six. I think Kyle, he kind of alluded to he was going to keep six in his last presser. So we'll see what happens. But listen, it's about to be battle. And they're preparing as if, you know, there's going to be life without Brandon Ayuk. And you have to be ready. Like, you have to be ready on all accounts for him to hold out, for him to miss this. So you need to get these guys in there to see what they're going to do. Like Ricky Pearsall, but I'm sorry, he's not Brandon Ayuk. I love Jacob Collins, but I'm sorry, he's not Brandon Ayuk. Like, there's no one in the 49ers wide receiving room that's Brandon Ayuk. And you can't rave about this guy being able to get open and get open and get open and then, like, to throw shade because he's going through these contract negotiations. No, that's the point. The problem is he's always open and he wants to get paid because he's always open. So at the end of the day, we just got to get him the ball.
Yeah, that's what's up. What's up, Paul? We got Paul Hope in the chat. Now, I like this question. Eggy, I'm about to toss this one to Wayne.
Oh, man, it's positional for me, dog. Give me the running back. Sorry, Bobby Turner, you can go chill out. Give me the backs or the linebackers. You ain't have to. Listen, when Kyle took the head coaching job, Eggy, 49ers, when he took the head coaching job, his beard was brunette. I think I said that right. The first 3 weeks, he full gray. Full
it's
gray.
Like presidential whatever. Like, you age, man.
Super. I am not about that life. I'm already half gray. I don't want to be full gray until I'm 50-something. So give me the positional coach, you know, to where yes, coach, I can answer to the coach. I'm cool with that. Yeah.
The question was, would you rather be a positional coach on the Niners or head coach at a different team in a different league? Man, I've been a positional coach, DC, head coach. I'm sorry, man. I've tasted the poison. I've tasted the power. Mm-hmm. I am 100% corrupted. I want to be the head coach, man. I am a.
Well, then hire me as the positional coach. How about that?
100%, man.
We'll keep it in there. I'll get those players to run through brick walls.
Those coaching meetings, we're going to be fired up in there, bro. Close the door. Nobody coming in here.
No cameras, no access allowed. What goes on in the coaching room with the players stays in the coaching room with the players.
I think I've been a part of, not necessarily just me, probably 7 or 8 coaching tantrums / fights.
Wow.
It gets hot in there, man, and I love it. I don't back down. You know me, I'm an a-hole, but it's what it is. All right, now let's get to the meat and potatoes of today's episode, which I've been waiting for. This is the Ask Wayne segment. I'm not giving my opinion. I might play a little devil's advocate here, but I got about 5 or 6 positional questions that I want to know your stake right now. And we're going to start. We've been talking wide receivers, so let's stick with wide receivers. Let's talk about the rookie Pearsall, baby. First round pick, Wayne.
Yo.
Which wide receiver position will Ricky Pearsall get his first snaps in? The X Ayuk role, the Z Debo role, or the slot role? Where does Ricky Pearsall get his first snaps at wide receiver?
I think it'd be the X. I think it'd be the X. I think his route running is pretty good, and I think he has quick moves to get open. I don't think they'll utilize him in the slot. I think he can kind of feast over the middle of the field as well, like the intermediate routes, get 10 to 15 yards down the field, find his hole in the zone and be sitting right there ready for the ball to come to his hands. I think that's where he'll dominate first. Plus, I think depending on the situation with Brandon Ayuk, you know, that would be his best opportunity to take that role. So it's kind of like him. And I know people don't want me to talk about this player. They feel like he's going to get X'd off the team. I don't know why people don't like Ronnie Bell, but
I thought you were going to say Danny Gray. You were going Danny Gray. You
no,
sick?
No. I think Ronnie Bell was the guy that took the Brandon Ayuk role last year. So when Ayuk was out, it was Bell. It was Bell over the middle. Now, he wasn't taking the top off the D and running the streak routes down the field, but he was the guy that was able to get open. 60-something yards, 4 receptions, 3 touchdowns, like on limited time, limited snaps. I mean, you can't really beat that. So I don't think it's all X out for Ronnie Bell. I think him and Pearsall is going to go at it.
I like it. I like it. I'm saying don't sleep on Danny Gray. That's all I'm saying.
All right. I like
that.
Let's go to
the other side of the ball. Let's jump back and forth. We've been talking way too much offense. Let's go defense. Fred Warner comes out and says D. Winters is having the best OTAs of any 49er. You pay Devondre Campbell all this money, plus we know how much they love DFF. Who is the starting will linebacker week one next to Fred Warner?
It's got to be Devondre Campbell, though.
Tell us why.
I just feel like you put the veteran out there and you slowly, interject the D. Winters role. Now, if the 49ers are coming on a base package, then I'm going to go D. Winters. If he's having that type of a camp.
So you'd move. Okay, so in a three linebacker set, you're saying Warner, D. Winters, and Devondre Campbell.
I think that would be my three linebacker set. I would move Campbell to the Sam, and I would put D. Winters as the weak side, the
and
will.
He's played so much, he can handle two linebacker spots.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all.
But
that's
just my theory. Don't know if that's what's going to happen, but that's my theory, right? And you want, if you're gonna put your nickel package out there, your base package out there, you want those guys. Now, when you go to the nickel, I think I would go Devondre back to the weak side. And have your nickelback come in, depending on who it is, if it's the rookie. Either way, you're going to have somebody young on a football field. So I would take my chances with
you don't think EFF gets that third role?
Nah, I just feel like his role is to be the fill-in in special teams. Some guys just have roles.
Jalen Graham, we didn't even bring him up like an Invader Niner.
I like Invader Niner. So Jalen Graham, to me, is your backup to Fred Warner. So, he's the guy that's been taking the mic snaps. Now, I don't know if they're asking him to do something different in the linebacking room. Johnny Holland, I don't know what he got going on. But I know last year, he was the kid mic'd up playing the mic linebacker, if you guys remember, during
Mike
those preseason
Sam.
Games.
Yeah. Mike and Sam.
Mike and Sam.
Yeah, and again, the 49ers like to couple Mike and Sam. Those are pretty easy responsibilities. Wills are usually Wills, and that's all they are. Dre Greenlaw doesn't play another position. Azeez played Mike and Sam. And so we'll see if that changes up. Devondre Campbell being such a vet, he could do multiple. I don't want Jalen Graham doing multiple. I don't want D. Winters doing multiple. Now, let's go special teams. We got to show some love to everybody. Starting punt returner, week one. And there
this is a lot.
Danny Gray, Trent Taylor, Ronnie Bell, Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing. Anybody else you want to throw on that list?
This is tough. You said punt returner?
Punt returner.
Yeah, this is tough.
We'll do kick returners later.
I got you. If I had to pick one of those guys, I guess we can X out Ronnie Bell. He didn't really do well there last year. Too many fumbles. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of beard sauce, man.
Because this is why you drafted him, right? This is why you drafted Pearsall. Now, he should have short hands. He should have good tracking ball skills to get the ball down there. But you know what? With the Niners, it's all about the fair catch. It's not even about the return. It's about securing the ball and making sure that your offense, you make the right move. And that way your offense goes out there with the best shot at going whatever they need to go to get to the touchdown. I think I would trust the rookie, Ricky Pearsall. I know you got the speed. And Jacob Cowing, who can probably take it to the house. But I think it comes down to, securing that ball. We talked about Trent Taylor, too. Like, I don't think there's anybody on the team that Kyle trusts more than Trent in those type of situations. So, can Trent Taylor find a way to make this roster? And if so, it would be specifically for that. But he's got to give you some type of wide receiver reps. If not, he goes to the practice squad, in my opinion.
Yeah, and, again, what does Kyle want? If you want safe, it's Trent Taylor. I said this last year about Bell. I never want a rookie punt returner. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. If I was coaching, backup, cool, and injuries, whatever. We got to do what we got to do. But I'm not starting that way. And Danny Gray's a little bit of a dark horse for me just because that dude won. I feel like he would have been the punt returner week one with Ray Ray injured last year.
He
got injured. So. Yeah. That's kind of where
I heard he was having a good mini camp too. So we'll see what that means when they put the pads on.
Gotta see. David says, I think Taylor wins the job. Very sure handed. Don't want a rookie punt returner. Yeah, I think that's Kyle Shanahan's brain. If I had to
Because those plays can make or break the energy of a game, right? Like it's a full swing. We watched the Super Bowl. Like, it's a full swing. Like, even Ray McCloud, even though he fumbled the ball, like, it was a full, like, oh, my gosh. Like, you know. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you guys. I think Trent Taylor shores up that spot. And he can give you slot receiving reps and kind of play the Ray McCloud role.
Yeah, I like that. McFadden, appreciate the super chat. Oh, we got a Chiefs question here. When comparing the Niners and the Chiefs offseason moves, who has the edge in future matchups, wide receiver, corner, O-line, all that stuff? Well, if we're building a prison league, the Chiefs won hands down. That's what they continue to build. And so rap sheet-wise, Chiefs got it in spades. They have more arrests than Super Bowl wins, and they got a lot of those, too.
I'm a huge fan of Gridiron. Not the Gridiron. Is that the movie with The Rock and Nelly?
That's a Gridiron. No. What's the Longest Yard?
Longest Yard. Huge fan of the Longest Yard movie.
Rock's in Gridiron Gang.
Was in Gridiron Gang. That was a totally different movie. That was the young kids in the institution. Longest Yard was actual prison. Right? Right. John's a huge. Listen, movie was great. But yeah, John's right. You know, the Chiefs are dope, but the Chiefs figured it out because they nailed their quarterback. So it's basically saying, okay, we got this guy. Now make the other people better, right? And so, like, yeah, they hit on a couple draft picks, but they don't really seem to care to build from the wide receivers. But then, like, we'll
it's
see
Mahomes.
What happens.
He'll take care of it.
It's Mahomes, right? The Niners literally are building, like, I don't know, like a well-oiled machine to last you, made out of metal and the finest tools to last for a lifetime. They just got to get over that special guy hump. Yeah. That's the issue. The issue is that it ain't the offensive line. It's not that. It's literally finding a way to get over Mahomes and Andy Reid. They got to figure it out.
It's what it is. And, you know, again, when CMC made the cover, a lot of people talked about his fumble in the Super Bowl, which is a big deal. Patrick Mahomes fumbled two times in that same Super Bowl.
They don't get the same. They don't get the same. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the way it goes, man. That's life. It's what it is. I see questions about the Madden curse. We talked about that earlier. If you want to go back and check it out at the start of the show. Let's go back to offense. All right. I got three more questions, one for each side of the ball. Wayne, who is the tight end to? Week 1 for the 49ers.
It better be Logan Thomas.
Ooh.
You brought him in here, and if he's healthy, that's the 21, the 12 personnel you want out there on that football field, right? Or 21 personnel, sorry. The two tight ends, whatever, which one. I thought it was
12. Yeah, 12. Running backs go first.
First, right. So that was the 12 personnel you went out there on the football field. Why? Because you're going to get the best of both worlds. You're still going to have your receiving tight end out there with the blocking. So it's two receivings, one blocking, and so somebody is going to be over. Plus, I would like to see Brock Purdy, like every other quarterback in the NFL, have that tight end. You know who killed us last year? What's the dude that played for Minnesota?
Oh, TJ.
That motherfucker stayed underneath as a check down.
Yeah, he did.
The teams are expecting Christian McCaffrey to be a check down.
That's when the whole Wilkes
right.
started.
Yo, why not have a guy like Logan Thomas be that check down guy? It's a first down every single time. He has sure hands.
He'll be on one side, Logan Thomas, little.
You get what I'm saying? Like, make like a horseshoe.
The rebound. And I hate that I brought up basketball being down 0-2 right now. But when you get the rebound, you got your double outlets. What side you going? And you're not
just
going
saying,
to Kyrie. Don't throw
just
to Kyrie.
Saying, he's my tight end, too. Other than that, it's going to come down to some of those young whippersnappers. So we'll see what happens. But I think you got to go with the short vet. I think Kyle, when it comes down to trusting, he needs his vet, those veterans out there that he knows can get the job done as those other guys continue to progress.
There we go. We got a Willis. We got a Cameron Law to reference. Yikes. Willis, I think, has a chance. I don't know. That Logan Thomas side, whenever I saw that, and the fact that Cameron Law still hasn't practiced in over a year, and I'm just like, ooh, how is he going to make strides with it? Hopefully he comes out and just dominates camp. I hope he does. But anyway. All right, let's go defensive side. Number 3 corner. We know it's Demo and Charvarius Ward, but is it going to be a nickel and Renardo Green? Is it going to be Isaac Yiadom, Rock Ya-Sin, Ambry Thomas? Who's going to be the number 3 corner to come in week 1 when they go nickel?
Yeah, this is where it gets interesting because you didn't mention Darrell Luter Jr. Mm-hmm. He's also been having a phenomenal camp, right? And And so at the end of the day, I mean, do they go with the sure veteran and Isaac Yiadom? I mean, I think that's how I have it. But if Renardo Green and Darrell Luter Jr. are trending upwards and they can play the nickel, I don't think they're, I think Darrell's more of an outside guy. I even think Renardo Green's an outside guy, but you can't, you don't hear Nick Sorsa. He can't stop talking about how well he's been doing inside at this young stage, and you know, before camp even really hits off and they put the pads on. So if the instincts of him is to be great inside, I think you just go with that. I think you go with the rookie. We might have a rookie starting inside, and then your depth is great. Like, your depth is good, right? Like, and then I think, you know what, it comes down to matchups again too. And I think Yiadom to me is a better outside guy as well. Like, I think having guys outside depth wise is crucial. God forbid you get an injury and you need that next man up to give you the same type of production, grit, coverage, ball skills. And that's what Yiadom does. I think if Mooney or Lenore goes down, you got that guy that can come in and be your starter right away. You ain't got to go out there and search on the street and grab him. So
I like it. I like it. Yiadom was getting the most first team snaps, seems like. So we'll see what that looks like. But yeah, there are a lot of options. I can't believe the last time we had this much depth, like at corner.
Good depth, though.
I think
good depth is the key, right? And then the question is, who's going to be the odd man out now? Right.
Wide receiver and corners. Depth, man. Who would have guessed? All right, last one, and then we'll jump to our NFC West divisional breakdown, positional group breakdown. Two kick returners. We got to have two. The new rule, you have to have two kick returners.
Isn't that how it used to be back in the day?
I don't think it was ever like you had to.
I thought I remember seeing, okay, maybe it wasn't a rule, but I thought I remember seeing two kick returners out there.
And right.
Like one to the right,
normal,
one to the left, maybe.
But now it is mandated. You have to have two people in the return zone versus the blocking zone. So who, week one, you get a pick. Who are your two kick returners week one?
I would like some speed back there. I think this is where the rookie
you
Isaac
are running Garindo, backs coach, aren't you?
I think this is where Isaac Garindo can make a name for himself on special teams. He'll get snaps. He'll make the roster. And you can utilize that 4-3 speed back there. He's a running back, so his main thing will be ball control. And he knows how to, you know, shoot gaps and get open. If the blocks are there, they drafted him, John, for explosiveness. I don't know if you did your film breakdown on him, but I just did. I didn't upload it to the, but I just finished doing mine. Yo, there was a game, bro, he rushed 11. He had 11 snaps, John. He had 11 snaps with 11 attempts and rushed for 140-something yards, bro, with 3 touchdowns. It was explosive run after explosive run. And it all wasn't because of great blocking. He made cuts, and he got to the outside. Outside zone is back, but that's rushing. As far as kick returning, I think you put that type of guy with that type of quick burst on your kick return team.
I like it. Taylor and Garindo says, KJ. And you know what's funny about the running backs? Every running back the 49ers have drafted, everyone since Shanahan showed up, had one of those elite game performances, all the way back to Joe Williams. Remember, he had like 300 yards versus UCLA, and then you had the LSU cat. He had like a 200-yard whatever game, and so did Trey Sermon in the bowl. Like, there's always like one elite game that Shanahan falls in love with, and that's what it is. So, anyway, that's fun. So we covered two offense battles, two defensive battles, two special teams battles. Now let's transition. We're going to jump over, and we're going to talk about our NFC West ranks. But before we do, if you're going to any 49ers games this year, you know what you got to do, especially the road games. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. We're going to be throwing parties at Minnesota, at the Seattle game, at Tampa Bay, at Buffalo, and the Arizona game the last week of the season, week 18. So all you got to do, those tickets are up now. Early bird pricing still available on most of them. So we slate it out. So if you buy your tickets early, they're cheaper. As we get closer to the event, they rise up. That's just kind of, we want to reward the people that help us out early. So 49ers Rush Road Trip, that's what's up. Come party. Have a good time with us. Now let's jump into corners. So here's how this works. Just cornerbacks. I'm going to break down the starters. I'm going to break down the veteran backups, then the youth behind them. I'm going to give a quick synopsis of each team, just listing who's who. And then Wayne's going to tell us what he thinks about the group overall. We'll go through all four teams. And then after that, we're going to rank them, including the best players at each position, the top three players at each position. So we'll start alphabetical. We're going to be doing Arizona. Then we'll do the Rams. Then we'll do San Francisco. Then we'll do Seattle. That's the plan. So with Arizona, their three starters, Sean Murphy Bunting, who they just added, Andre Chatchers, and Keytrell Clark, who was their rookie last year. He was starting early. He's already starting. Now they go out, they draft one of the best 49ers fits of the whole draft, Max Melton in the second round, Elijah Jones in the third round. They got Starling Thomas, one of my favorite undrafted free agents from last year, and Garrett Williams, super young. Plus, they get Jaden Davis in the seventh round and Michael Ojudamia. I'm pretty sure I said that wrong, but youth. What do you think about the Arizona Cardinals and their cornerback room?
as far as their starters, they got some dogs. They got some dogs. But free agent Sean Murphy Bunting was a good signing for them. I love Max Melton, but there's another kid that they drafted, in the third round, and Elijah Jones out of Boston College. I think he's going to be a problem in the NFL. The way he plays outside is ridiculous. They got him backing up Sean Murphy Bunton, but I like their cornerback room. They kind of remind me of Seattle's young guys with the savvy vet out there and Sean Murphy Bunton. And so I actually like them. I like Keytrell Clark. They have a good room. I'm not even going to stunt. They have a good room. It's a good, solid room.
And young. It's good whenever you're young and solid.
No all pros, but really young and solid.
And I'm glad that they got Sean Murphy Bunting because he's the vet. You know what I mean? He's been all over. He gets to basically, he's the Richard Sherman back in the day. Hey, guys, this is how it's done.
And there you go.
I thought that was a good sign.
You see what they're doing, Copycat league.
That's what it is. Now let's go to the Rams. They got Darius Williams, Darion Kendrick, Tre'Davious White. We just talked about youth with Arizona. Rams, not so much. They got Kobe Durant and Quentin Lake as backups. Trey Tomlinson, LaDainian Tomlinson's nephew they drafted last year. Josh Wallace, undrafted free agent. Cam Lampkin, undrafted free agent. Charles Woods, undrafted free agent. This is what the Rams did last year. We're just going to throw a whole bunch of undrafted free agents, maybe one or two sticks. What do you think about this Rams cornerback group?
I like the Darius Williams signing. I was hoping we would have reached out for him in free agency. I thought that was something we might have did. But that's a good signing for them, as well as Tre'Davious White. So they went with the vets. They went with guys that they feel like if they're out on the football field, they trust these guys. And I know Tre'Davious White has been dealing with injuries, but a healthy Tre'Davious White, he's a top corner in the league, regardless of how old he's getting. So they got the room slightly, over, in my opinion, over those Cardinals, because the Cardinals got a lot of young players that are still kind of trying to get in there and prove themselves. These guys got the vets that have done it, year in, year out on a consistent basis. And the only thing to me that's keeping those, that Tre'Davious White, the injuries to Tre'Davious White is it kind of.
One are you getting?
One are you going to get? It's kind of what taints that room just a tad bit. But they got some depth, man. They got some depth. They got my boy from Michigan, Josh Wallace. They got some depth.
Yeah, that's right. Michigan guy. I remember him. Now let's go to the Niners. Starters, Charvarius Ward, D'Amador Lenore. I tried to put all veterans in the starting category. So I put Isaac Yiadom. Now backups. You spent a second-round pick on Yenardo Green. Last year you got Daryl Luter Jr., Rockyasin, Ambry Thomas. And then the next kind of tier of depth, Chase Lucas, Sam Womack. There's some depth here. Niners, we know Niners, but man, you look at this corner group, and we said it earlier, that's some solid depth now.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at an all-pro. You're looking at a future all-pro. Like, you're looking at guys, when you talk about the two starting guys in Ward and Lenore, those are some dudes. And then when you look at the depth, it's not like it's new added depth. It's guys that's been in the system for a few years, and then they added in some new fresh faces that, like I said, if a guy goes down, they can come in and fill in. You don't really skip a beat. Remember the year we had to go out and get like Josh Norman off the street and things like that? Like that, I think that those days are over. The Niners made sure that this room was popping. You want to talk about a crowded room? This is another one. It's the second most crowded room on the team. And so when you look at it, I think the Niners got a really good, solid core with their corners. And then they drafted Renardo Green, and we know we got to see what he's like when he gets out there. Personally, I say put Renardo at the outside guy and let Lenore play inside, because Lenore's just been a beast. That like he to me he mastered both, and yeah. So if you see Renardo Green doing really well at the nickel, it's interchangeable for me. So. That's up to them to decide. But I think the Niners' defensive backs are deep. Like, that cornerback room is nice.
Logan Ryan started for the Super Bowl for us at nickel. I keep going back to that. That ain't happening anymore. Not happening anymore. Still upsets. He didn't play terrible, but...
But you just think, as a guy, another kid that they got off the Disney cruise. Like, literally.
Yeah. I like that. All right, last group, the Seattle Seahawks. Just alphabetically, good group. Devin Witherspoon, Tariq Woolen, and Trey Brown. There's their starters. Michael Jackson, Artie Burns, Kobe Bryant, C-O-B-Y Bryant, their backups. And they draft Nehemiah Pritchett in the fifth round, DJ James in Auburn. The sixth round. Seattle, talk to me, man.
Wait, DJ James went to Auburn, right? Where did Nehemiah Pritchett go? I felt like he was an Auburn cat, too.
I think Louisville?
Louisville.
Let me
got
check.
You.
I think got it you. Was Louisville.
That makes sense. DJ James was the guy we
no,
talked to.
Both went to Auburn.
That's what I thought. That's
yeah,
what
you
I thought.
Right. You're right.
They got the Auburn guys. Smart. Listen, you know, Seattle has been drafting DBs for decades really well. It's like kind of like what they do. And they develop them as well. And so this is a tough room. You know, you're looking at Reek Woolen. You're looking at, you know, Witherspoon from Illinois. You know, he's a problem. He's going to be a problem for a long time, right? He's going to be a problem for a long time. Michael Jackson out there as well. Trey Brown. They got some guys. I'm not even going to stunt. And so I their room is tough. Their room is going to be tough, but they're young too. You know what I mean? Like they're relatively young. And they're going to have to go up against some dogs. Usually they go out there and prove their damn thing. But I like the Seattle Seahawks cornerbacks room. I'm not even going to lie. It might be my favorite out of all.
It's
all
really
four.
Good. KJ says they conjured two guys up from the grave. Talking about Michael Jackson, Kobe Bryant. Respect the comment there. Now, hey, let's do this, Wayne. Let's start by doing this. Who are the top three corners, regardless of nickel, outside, whatever? Who are your one, two, and three? We'll start at three. Who are the top three corners in this division, regardless of team, in your opinion?
Okay, you got it's Mooney Ward, it's Reek Woolen. I got it.
It's tough.
Yeah. Darius Williams.
Darius Williams.
Yeah, those are my top
three
corners.
I like it. I put Devin Witherspoon ahead of Tariq, and I put Demo number three. But
that's fair.
Again, I think there's like six guys that are in a tier, and then everybody else.
Yes, 100%, 100%.
And a lot. And I'll be honest. Before we go through and rank these overall units, like I struggle because the 49ers got two of these Seattle Seahawks guys benched in the middle of a game. Like Tariq Woolen was All Pro, dude got benched. Like they had to take him out of the game because
sure.
He couldn't handle it.
For sure,
but. You got to look at the overall thing. So let's start with the number four overall team unit. Who do you have last as far as corner groups for this?
I think, I think I'm going to go. It's between the Rams and the Cardinals.
I agree.
And I think I'm going to lean toward the Cardinals because of them being the youth. I think I'll trust the veterans a little bit more. Especially with bearing health, I think the Cardinals would be four for me, and then the Rams would be three.
I got the same order, and again, the youth. You talk about two diametrically opposed teams: Rams going all vets, and Cardinals going all youth. And so
it's the polar opposites,
every
right?
Single time.
Yeah.
All right. So now the question comes down to, and I think there's two tiered system. It puts the 49ers in Seattle. Who's number one? Who's number two?
I feel like your number one is the 49ers, especially since you had two of the players ranked in your top.
It is for
three.
Me, yes. Yeah. And the depth. I like the depth better, too.
And so, like, I think you put Seattle at two. The Niners go to one. I mean,
is that what you're doing? That's what I did.
That's what I'm doing as well. Like, that's what I'm doing. I really do like Seattle's room, especially if you get the all pro version of Reek Willen back. Like, you know what I'm saying? Devin Witherspoon, maybe he progresses and doesn't be a nickelback and he moves to the outside. I don't know. I don't really care what they do, but they do have a solid room. But when you look at the 49ers, they got solid starters and former starters that are going to be now going into depth. And when you ask those depths to come in, the depth pieces to come in to start, they play really well. So when you look at the Isaac Yiadoms, when he came in and he had to start in New Orleans, he proved himself to be like a top corner, and then he was shutting people down. So I feel like the 49ers just have the best room when it comes to cornerbacks.
Yeah, and the depth is what did it for me. And they have the U2 with the second round pick that gets to learn. And maybe he starts right off the bat, but he didn't have to. I mean, that was the thing. The depth was what did it for me. Starters, I don't mind if you go Seattle, but yeah, that's what we got.
Great point.
All right, so let's go safeties. Let's do this. This is going to be a fun one, man. Arizona, we'll start with them. Buda Baker, Jalen Thompson, they've been starting for a long time. They go draft Jadarian Taylor-Demerzian out of Texas Tech. He doesn't believe in space in the fourth round. Joey Blunt and Veron McKinney III. You remember him out of Oregon back in the day?
I do.
That's their room there for safeties.
Yeah, man, they got two good safeties that start. I'll leave it at that. You know, Buda Baker is one of the best safeties in the game when he's healthy. You know, Jalen Thompson is not a slouch. So they got two of the best starting safeties in the league.
Buda Baker was my, like, that was my, you know, draft day. Like, you draft Mac no matter what, Vontae Mac. Like, Buda Baker was my guy.
Every time you did a mock, yeah, like, that was the guy.
I just wanted him. He was my favorite player that draft. And anyway, it's what it is. All right, let's go Rams. Cameron Curl and Russ Yeet, all name team. You got Cameron Kitchens, my favorite safety in the draft. They got in the third round. And Jalen McCullough and Kenny Logan Jr. As your youthful backup. So, Rams, kind of what do you do with this group?
I think this is where you take advantage of the Rams over the middle of the field, right? I don't trust their safeties.
Linebackers are terrible, too.
So, I don't think their safety group is that great. I do like Cameron Curl, not going to front. Not a huge fan of Kitchens out of Miami, out of the U.
I loved him. You didn't like him.
Nah, he didn't like really do anything that stood out to me other than thump. He's a thumper. But coverage, can you take advantage of him in coverage? And so when I think about those matchups, I think they're going to struggle there. And so I don't think they have a pretty developed group yet. I'm not saying that those guys can't be good. I just don't think they're developed to being good. But I do like Cameron Curl. I'm not going to stunt. I do like Cameron Curl.
Let's go 49ers. If Hufanga's healthy, Hufanga Brown would be your starters. You go out in the fourth round, draft Malik Mustafa, and you got George Odom. Plus, you got Eric Harris and Trey Hawkins, kind of your vets. Backups, not really youth anymore. There's not a lot of youth outside of Malik. Sum this up for us.
Yeah, like, you know, they're still young at the position, but the veterans are mainly at your depth, right? And so you're hoping Eric Harris finds a way to make the roster. I believe he'll be a practice squad guy. And then, like, Taylor Hawkins is another guy that, you know, came in when he was asked. He got his first career interception last year, too, as well, right?
And so kudos. His wrist.
And then he broke his wrist. Listen, bro, you can't make this stuff up.
I love Taylor Hawkins, man. Yeah,
at the end of the day, man, they got veteran depth that's been in the system. You know what I'm saying? And so, to me, Eric Harris is one of the newbies. He was brought in, like, last year, if I'm not mistaken. But Taylor Hawkins has been a practice squad guy in the system for a minute. And then, like, look, you drafted Malik Mustafa. He might be one of the smartest players in the NFL draft. So I can't wait to see him out there on the football field. He's the perfect blend. And if you can get Hufanga to come back to look at what he was like, looking like before the injury, flying to the ball, being that type of guy, playing more instinctive opposed to, like, just, you know, theoretically trying to be right. Like, the Niners have a crazy solid room. And if the, God forbid, if anything happens, then you got your veteran George Odom there as well that could kind of fill in and start a few games. So
Soros had talked about him having one of the best OTAs.
The OTAs, bro. Like, that just blew my mind.
He's been terrible at.
Blew my mind.
Thank you. Leon Sandcastle, I love it. He says, Malik Mustafa, 5'10", 207. Whitner, 5'10", 208. Both lay the boom. When I watch Mustafa play, I see Whitner. Ah, oh, I love it, man.
Yeah. You do. Same body type. I think it's weird, right? Because Mustafa's definitely like built to play this position. He's like a linebacker, but playing the position of safety. Like, he's a linebacker body playing the position of safety, right? Your short style linebackers. But at the end of the day, he's good in coverage too. He's good in space too. So like that pick is gonna be crazy. Like, Mustafa's gonna be a monster.
I think he could be too. All right, let's do Seattle, our last group that we're going to talk about today. Rashawn Jenkins and Julian Love. They had a huge turnover with the safety position, cut pretty much everybody. So Rashawn Jenkins, Julian Love, their starters. Kayvon Wallace, Jarek Reed II, their backups. Ty Okuda and Jonathan Sutherland, their kind of long-term developmental guys. It's changed, the safety room there with the McDonald coming over and all those things. What do you think of Seattle's safety group?
Yeah, man, like another one of those groups that's just not going to do it. They don't do it for me, man. I feel like this is another team you could try to take advantage of their safeties. You could get them caught up out there. Like, I think Brock's going to have fun against Seattle's secondary, and I think he's going to have fun against the Rams. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, I said, if I had to pick, I mean, maybe Julian Love. The free agent they got from the Giants might do something there, but I don't know. I don't really like their safety room. It doesn't do anything for me.
Going from Baltimore, where he had two of the best of the best, where he
totally
is now,
different, right?
I'm curious to see how he's going to make that work. All right, so let's do this. Who are the top three safeties, regardless of team, in this group, in this division, the NFC West? Who are your top three safeties?
I think you got to go Buda Baker. Agreed. Number one, I feel like you got to go. This is tough. I think you go Buda Baker. I think you go Hufanga, because a healthy Hufanga is a problem. I don't care what nobody says. Yeah. And then I think it's tough because it's either Jalen Thompson or Jair Brown, and I'm struggling.
I had Jalen Thompson three. But again, I was with you too. Like, I was like, oh, probably, you know, I might put Rashawn Jenkins in there sometimes. He's very hot or cold. But yeah, Brown was there. And I love that. And so you're talking about two teams with the top four. And so I think whenever we do these rankings, that's probably going to be reflected. So let's start. Who is the last place divisional safety group? What team do you have fourth?
I got the I got the Rams four.
Same, man.
Seattle three.
All right. So then again, back to this idea. It's a two-tier thing, just like corners, different teams, but there's the bottom two teams and then there's the top two teams.
Yeah, the safety position, I got Rams, then Seattle. Now to get to these top tiers, I think the 49ers win it in depth. But I still think Arizona should be the best safety tandem in the NFC West, y'all.
So you Arizona one?
I'm taking Arizona one, Niners two.
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And again, like, maybe I'm wrong because, you know, both teams drafted a fourth rounder to step in. Both teams have two of the top safeties. I said Buda was one and Jalen Thompson was three. So, yeah, that's what I got too. And it's close. Like, I deleted it a few times. I ain't gonna lie.
Because you know what I saw from Jair Brown was so dope, right? Thrown into the fire. First game, didn't his first game get an interception or something like that? Like, thrown into the fire, came into the game. Now, we also saw him struggle with angles and run defense, but as far as coverage, he's got that. So just imagine
interception in the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl. Just imagine if he doesn't have to work on his pass coverage and he could put more eggs in the run defense basket. Like, just imagine. He's a thumper too. People forget, like, he can hit, but that dude is physically fit to built to play safety. Talano Hufanga already came out and said, "Listen, I got to come back out here and earn my job." That's how dope Tig played.
That's a good room. It's a good room. And both these rooms, the corners and the safeties for the 49ers are incredible. A lot of expiring contracts. A lot of it's not going to be this good for a long time. We'll figure those things out. But, man, this was an absolute blast. I love Tuesdays.
Yes. And I'm going to be figuring out how to get you back on the channel and what day works best for us to do stuff on my channel. We'll get that going back going real soon, bro. I promise.
You say when, and I'll show up. Them's the rules. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Wayne, as always, you're the one that's got to take us out because the energy, it's just what you are. And I freaking love it, man. Really appreciate you, brother.
Guys, it is time to take a break, and it's okay. But don't take a break from the 49ers Rush podcast channel right here. Make sure you guys are here every time John goes live. Make sure your alerts are set to all. 49er faithful, get ready for a 2024 season that's about to be off the mother freaking map. I can tell you right now that the players are energetic because the coaches are energetic, and they're ready to go out there and have fun. Tonight, we are young, and we are back. 49ers, stand up, make some noise, and we'll see you next Tuesday, baby. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.